Comforter, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And may His peace rest upon each one of you. Amen. Yes, when we show a picture like that, it is always a prayer in Namibia for rain. That is what we pray for, and that is what we wish for, and that is what we ask for. So let's stand and praise God with this story. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds, and we will sing four verses thereof. Let's stand and sing it. Jose, please do me a favor and just reverse again. Thank you. I think I say it every single time we sing this. When we speak about our identity, and if you want to confess something, if there is a creed about our belief system, this is verse 4. Oh, Jesus, shepherd, guardian, friend, my prophet, priest, and king. My Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. This is who we are. That is what we believe. That is the foundation of every single thing that we can exist of in church and in life. Right, great. This morning, I'm so glad you are here. I am going to say a lot of things that we have already done. It's almost like... you know, I don't think I was ever a very good student in school. And there are quite a few of my teachers, part of the congregation, and I think they will agree. But we don't speak about it. So they say nothing, and me neither. So, but it is what happened is what teachers did, and is they will tell you, listen. Listen, students, listen very carefully. I will ask this in the exams. So that is the clue. She will ask it in the exams. And she will explain it again and again and repeat it again and again. And still you do not listen. And it's so obvious. Just learn the stuff and rewrite it. But I think there was some misinterpretation in my life about that stuff. But point is, I will do the same sort of thing this morning, like I've done it before. Just to say what we did up to now, this year already, in terms of what we do. But let me say this: normally we use a reading plan as prescribed by. I don't know who, but point is, so we follow some sort of plan. But And sometimes I do not follow it, but point is, somehow it happened that God tells us this year again and again who the church really is. What are the foundations of a church and a congregation? But then specifically for you as an individual and for me as an individual, what is your stance? Who are you? What is your identity as a member of a church? And we will say something about it this morning again. And I will read 1 Samuel 16. It's only that one verse, but I can give you some sort of a context of what happened here about Samuel, and he anoints David as the king. And so that is that story. That is the background of the story. But before we do so, it's a very, very long time ago. And we need to understand a few things about it as well. So let's ask God's guidance and to help us with this. Let's pray together. Father God, yes, we honor your name. We praise you for who you are and how you reveal yourself to us as a church in this world. You are the Savior, you are the way, you are the life. Father, you are the one that comforts us. And thank you for your peace, thank you for your presence, thank you for your guidance through the Holy Spirit, thank you for your word, and it's a living word. It's not just a book that we're busy with, it is your revelation. And please reveal yourself again to us this morning so that we can understand who we are, what we should do, and how we can create some light and add value into this world that we live in. So therefore, Father, we pray, please bless us when we are busy with this holy moment of exploring the Word of God. And thank you for everyone present, and we think of all those that cannot be here, so many that struggle with health and struggle to walk. And so we pray for each one of them as well. And may our thoughts just go out to the congregation this morning that cannot be here. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me read from verse 14. You will see the heading in my Bible is David in Saul's service. So when you start off reading in 1 Samuel, the story is that the Israelites, they wanted a king, and God said, no, you cannot get a king because I am your king. And they said, no, we want a real king. And so that's the whole story and the background. And so the first king appointed was Saul. And then, he wasn't a good king. And then through a lot of trouble, I mean, David is the new one. And but let me read this then. Verse 14 in 1 Samuel 16. Now the Spirit of the Lord has departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better. So Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. And this is our verse for this morning. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him. So Saul sent the messengers to him, and so David entered the palace, and he became part of that whole system. But I will come back to this later on. What we have done this year is we started off with that metaphor using the meerkats. The meerkats and how they work together, and we apply it on the church, and we say what we need in the church was and were the five things that we spoke about that Sunday. It was we need teamwork, we need cooperation, and somehow we sit here this morning and it's we are so far away from one another. And are you afraid of one another? I don't know, but point is, if you look around you, we need one another. This is church. This is the essence of church is we need one another. We need to cooperate, and we need teamwork to do so. And we need and we saw about something about awareness of the little meerkats. So we need vigilance. We need awareness of the circumstances, the context of our life, and that we spoke about that. We need teaching, mentorship. That is what we've said. We saw it with this little meerkats. We need the trust in leadership and leadership. And it's in their lives, it's all about community, 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 community. And that is the identity of the church, is community, community, community. We need fellowship. We need one another. And then we moved on and we said something about Paul's usage of the armor of God, and we spoke specifically about the shoes, the simplicity of the shoes. We've said the sandals. It was basically sandals, and to go and spread the message of God in this world. But it is just part of the whole system to do so. And then Paul spoke, and we spoke about the letter to the first letter to Corinthians. And then there we said something about the identity of the congregation and the church again. So in the Bible you will see that, so sometimes we speak about the church and then we speak of the congregation as if it's two different things, but it's the same thing. In Greek, a church and the congregation is the same, it's the same word, the same concept. And this is, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, but this is the identity of a church. A congregation again is to stay together, to stick together, to have one vision. That is that Paul asked for. And so what is our identity? He said our identity is that we have fellowship with one another because we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is it. That is a driving point. That is a focal point. Jesus, fellowship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as it forms the identity of the church. We've said we are sanctified. It's a difficult word, but we are set apart. We are different than the rest of the world. That holy, you can say. And we all do have spiritual gifts, and we need one another as well. So this is who we are as a church.
Hallo.
Not yet. There it is. You get all the spiritual gifts and then Varta as well. Varta. Okay. And but what is what I like about this assembly is, and somehow I've missed how large and massive it really was. When you read in Judges 20 verse 2, there was, when they assembled, there were 400,000 men. What? Can you just think about it? 400,000 men. You can read in Judges 20 about it. Ecclesia, assembly. That is when they came together. And that is what it is. We are called to be different, to be set apart. This is who we are. And that is what Paul says. It runs right through the Bible. And the Sabbath as well. He said it is the Sabbath was a holy day, and we are the holy people. The Sabbath is to set apart. We are set apart as people. And God is holy, and we should admire and respect this moment of set apart and being set apart and holiness. This is what it is. But we are also called. It's right through the Bible, Old Testament. We are called. We are called to be different and have a different opinion about world and about righteousness and what it is, and to love in a different way than the world. We are elected to be children of God. So, this is the background of what we are going to say, what we have said, and what we are going to focus on. Now, this morning, in the church tradition, they called it the Day of Transfiguration. And you can go to Matthew 17. It's basically the text of the day, but I'm not going to read it. It's when Jesus appeared on the mountain, and Peter and James and John took him there, Moses and Elijah, they appeared there, and what happened at that moment is, and why it is important, Jesus of God says out of the heavens, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am very pleased. Listen to him. So he's my Son. That is what it is. And I thought to myself, you know, but it is a moment on the mountain where Jesus appeared, and he's, well, physically and spiritually, everything changed at that moment. But there's one thing in life that I like to add to that. And that is when normal believers in Christ plays a role in to transform things, to change things. And this is what I would like to say, and based on the first Samuel 16, I want to say something about it this morning. And I want to show you the story of Jelly Roll. Huh? You think it's really a name? But he was... Is there a picture of him? It's not the sort of guy that Jerry Rowe, let me tell you about him. He grew up surrounded by cycles of addiction, spent a long time in prison. And got out of prison, and he's a singer, and just recently at the Grammys, he received a Grammy for a gospel artist. So God changed his whole life in prison. And what he does is, and he received a massive amount of critique the last few weeks for sharing his faith in the global arena, and so he says, "God saved my life and he led me back to grace and he changed my whole life." And he received the best of the Grammy for the best contemporary country album, Beautifully Broken. But his whole life is about witnessing the changing effect of Jesus in his life. And his Grammy speech was something like this, sounds like this. First of all, Jesus, I hear you and I am listening, Lord. I am listening, Lord. I believe that music had the power to change my life and God had the power to change my life. Second of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife and I would have never changed my life without you. I have ended up or dead or in jail. And he just witnessed about the change of Jesus Christ in his life. And I wanted to play you his song of change this morning. Transfiguration that happened in his life. But listen what he says in his song. Ek dink Jose, jy moet hom so double klik op die ding klik aan speel. Nee man, jylle speel nou The Sound of Silence. Jylle moet...
I was broken, lost and guilty, chains of sin wrapped around my soul. But on a hill called Calvary, your blood was spilled to make me whole. Every nail drove love much deeper. Every thorn crowned you as king. Though the world turned its back upon you, you gave your life to set me free. The cross was enough. The grave couldn't win. Your mercy reached farther than all of my sin. Love poured out when you gave up your breath. Jesus, you saved me through life and through. I see your hand, they bear the story, scars that shout of amazing grace. Every drop of blood still your place, I took your shame. The stone rolled back, the tomb lay empty. Hope was born on that third day. Now I'm alive and I'll keep singing. Jesus is risen. Cross was enough, the grave couldn't win. Your mercy reached farther than all of my sin. Love poured out.
It's a simple man, spent time in prison, addiction, and every song he sings is a pure, powerful witness of what God and Jesus Christ can do in your life. And this morning, the chapter 16, it is so very simple. One of the servants answered. The servant doesn't even have a name. But in this moment, on verse 18, changed the history of Israel. Not just that. One of the servants answered. Just think about it. Let's say you are a student in school. You are in grade 7. And you and your friends are walking in the school grounds, and you see, here's a new student standing there alone, and you go to that person, and the others would say, ah, check it, it's a new nerd, you know. Well, look at that person, blah blah blah, you know that. But you think, let me go there, and you say, listen, my name is Dries. Who are you? What's your name? Welcome to our school. And come and join us. Come and sit here with us. It's just an example. And then, let's say 40 years later, the president of the country has a speech and says, "I remember then when I was 16, my parents sent me to a new school, and it was a real difficult time for me. My parents did go through a divorce, and I struggled with a lot of things. And I remember one day at the new school, during the break, a strange kid came up to me and said, welcome, come and sit here with us. And that changed my life. I'm telling it to say how simple change can be. And how simple a small thing in life can change so many things. And this is what happened here. There was a servant. In the Afrikaans Bible, I think it's due to the political correctness, they call it ambtenaar. So it was a civic servant. But it was a slave. In Hebrew, it's a slave. So it was a slave. No name. No resume, nothing, just anonymous little lad. And the king asked, do anyone knows about a guy playing a lyre? And this unknown person came forward and says, I have seen someone, the son of Jesse of Bethlehem. I know that guy. And it changed everything. And this is it. This is one of the greatest moments in life. But because the question is, how did David came into the palace? I mean, how should history happen in a certain way that he can become the king? So the question is, how did David enter King Saul's palace and get used to a royal life. And how did he train? How was he trained as a warrior and become this armor bearer of Saul? I mean, from playing the lyre to become the armor bearer. I mean, how did he end up being in the band or the music player? It's the most intimate. In terms of security levels and the government and the kingship. I mean, to be there in front of the king, how? I mean, who spoke up? Who said anything about the unknown slave? Not an important person. He wasn't the general. He wasn't the secretary. There was no nothing. He was just a slave servant. And he said, I know about someone. I know about someone. The son. He doesn't have a name. And he doesn't even know David's name. He said it was the son of the son. I know that little lad, man. He can like a gooi die harp dingetjie. And he sent him. And this is it. This is the point of being church. I mean, what he does was to present David. He said, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He could stop there. I mean, that was enough. That was what they looked for. That was part of the job description. Just come and play the lyre because our king is not in a good shape at this moment. He has depression and evil spirits and whatever it is. And then he says more. In that resume, he says, he is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. I can witness about the power of God in that man's life. This is what it is. So sometimes life just changes when we present someone. We say something good about someone. When we bring someone to the table, invite them and say, be part of it. Come to the table. We need this man. And this is what happened in this story. When this unknown person unknowingly changed the impact of the future of Israel. Just that. So simple and easy. And sometimes in our lives we think, well, I cannot make any change because they don't know me. I don't have a name. I'm not important. Who would listen to me? Well, I'm not a person with status. I'm not a leader. Well, I'm just a servant. Well, that is the point of being church. That is the point of being having the sandals of spreading the good news. It's just to do it. You don't have to be someone to change the world. You don't have to be appointed as an apostle to do so. Jelly Roll. I mean, who's that guy? No one knew about him before this. He received so many critique, but he never stops doing what he should do, proclaiming salvation through Jesus Christ. He changed my life. He broke the chains of sin. This is what it is. He's not just vaguely singing it. I mean, so many people receiving a Grammy will say, oh, I'll thank my daddy and my mommy, and I thank God. Not general. He said, Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. Jesus Christ changed my life in a massive way, and the world doesn't like it. They don't want to hear it. So he's probably now a person that we can listen to. He changed. He lost 110 pounds, I understand, and they gave him a fresh new teeth. Well, what's the first thing that Americans do? They get a pair of neat teeth. That is what they did. So they gave him as well. Point is, but that is not what Jerry Roll is about. He says something about the changing life of Christ in his life. You don't have to be important. You don't have to be a leader. Every single one of us. You can just be a servant. But what you can do is bring the message. Boast about other people. Bring them to the front. You do have a gift. Come. Share in who we are. I want to show you today. Yeah, well, today is a movie. It's movie night. So what can we do? Again, excuse this, weer a video. Je moet weer op hem klikken. Let's listen to this little guy. You have probably seen it.
How can you show someone that you love them?
We can hug them. Well, not really kiss them. Only your family, not your friends. Love is helping others. Love is being kind. Love is doing things from your heart. Love is family. Love is caring. Love is how you make people feel. You can make people feel loved, and that's good. Love is like singing with all of your heart. Love is like an extra squeezy hug. Love is a smile from somebody you care about. A smile can change your day, you know. Love can be a wink like this. Love can be helping a friend. Love can be listening to with two ears. Love can be saying something nice to someone, but only say it if you mean it. The world needs love. Share this with somebody you love. Maybe it'll make them smile.
Let's pray. Father, the world needs love. And this little boy, so enthusiastic and lovable, tells us about love. Maybe someone needs a smile. Maybe someone needs just a little bit of comfort, a prayer, a greeting. Father, it is the small things that transforms people, the life around us. It transforms people deep in their souls and minds and hearts. Father, we understand this morning, we can hear, we don't have to be important. They don't have to know my name. But we can still do what you ask us to do. We can still be a light. We can still bring peace. We can still forgive. And therefore we pray, Father, that this will be the essence of our congregation. Not about important people. We've said it last week. If we boast or boast, it is not about ourselves, but about you. And therefore, Father, please, in humbleness and as servants, we ask, come and change our lives, the lives around us, and let us be church as you ask us to be. Thank you for your presence this morning, and we pray again for this world, the wickedness of this world, the unrighteousness and the unfairness, the pain, the sorrow. Every single one suffering this morning, we pray for them. Pray, Father, that your peace will come and heal our world, people, marriages. We pray that you will bless our country as well. And when we are here this morning as a congregation, Father, it's not just a meeting. It's not. It is fellowship. It is in calling. This is our foundation of our whole being. And therefore, Father, send us. And help us to change wherever we can. Thank you for your salvation and your hope and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's offer our gratitude to God. I'm telling it to say how simple change can be, and how simple a small thing in life can change so many things. And this is what happened here. There was a servant. In the Afrikaans Bible, I think it's due to the political correctness, they call it ambtenaar. So it was a civic servant. And but it was a slave. In Hebrew, it's a slave. So it was a slave. No name, no resume, nothing. Just anonymous little lad. And the king asked, do anyone knows about a guy playing a lyre? And this unknown person comes forward and says, I have seen someone. The son of Jesse of Bethlehem. I know that guy. And it changed everything. And this is it. This is one of the greatest moments in life. But because the question is, how did David came into the palace? I mean, how should history happen in a certain way that he can become the king? So the question is, how did David enter King Saul's palace and get used to a royal life? And how did he train? How was he trained as a warrior and become the armor bearer of Saul? I mean, from playing the lyre to become the armor bearer. I mean, how did he end up being in the band or the music player? It's the most intimate. In terms of security levels, and the government and the kingship. I mean, to be there in front of the king, how? I mean, who spoke up? Who said anything about the unknown slave? Not an important person. He wasn't a general. He wasn't a secretary. There was no nothing. He was just a slave servant. And he said, I know about someone. I know about someone. The son. He doesn't have a name. And he doesn't even know David's name. He said it was the son of the son. I know that little lad, man. He can like a gooi die harp dingetjie. And he sent him. And this is it. This is the point of being church. I mean, what he does was to present David. He said, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He could stop there. I mean, that was enough. That was what they looked for. That was part of the job description. Just come and play the lyre because our king is not in a good shape at this moment. He has depression and evil spirits and whatever it is. And then he says more. In that resume, he says, he is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. I can witness about the power of God in that man's life. This is what it is. So sometimes life just changes when we present someone. We say something good about someone. When we bring someone to the table, invite them and say, be part of it. Come to the table. We need this man. And this is what happened in this story. When this unknown person unknowingly changed the impact of the future of Israel. Just that. So simple and easy. And sometimes in our lives we think, well, I cannot make any change because they don't know me. I don't have a name. I'm not important. Who would listen to me? Well, I'm not a person with status. I'm not a leader. Well, I'm just a servant. Well, that is the point of being church. That is the point of being having the sandals of spreading the good news. It's just to do it. You don't have to be someone to change the world. You don't have to be appointed as an apostle to do so. Jelly Roll. I mean, who's that guy? No one knew about him before this. He received so many critique, but he never stops doing what he should do, proclaiming salvation through Jesus Christ. He changed my life. He broke the chains of sin. This is what it is. He's not just vaguely singing. I mean, so many people receiving a Grammy will say, oh, I'll thank my daddy and my mommy, and I thank God. Not general. He said, Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. Jesus Christ changed my life in a massive way, and the world doesn't like it. They don't want to hear it. So he's probably now a person that we can listen to. He changed. Well, he lost 110 pounds, I understand, and they gave him a fresh new. Well, that's the first thing that Americans do. They get a pair of neat teeth. That is what they did. So they gave him as well. Point is, but that is not what Jerry Roll is about. He says something about the changing life of Christ in his life. You don't have to be important. You don't have to be a leader. Every single one of us You can just be a servant. But what you can do is bring the message. Boast about other people. Bring them to the front. You do have a gift. Come, share in who we are. I want to show you today. Yeah, well, today is a movie. It's movie night. So what can we do? Again, excuse this weer video. You moet weer op hem klik. Let's listen to this little guy. You have probably seen it.
How can you show someone that you love them?
We can hug them. Well, not really kiss them. Only your family, not your friends. Love is helping others. Love is being kind. Love is doing things from your heart. Love is family. Love is caring. Love is how you make people feel. You can make people feel loved, and that's good. Love is like singing with all of your heart. Love is like an extra squeezy hug. Love is a smile from somebody you care about. A smile can change your day, you know. Love can be a wink like this. Love can be helping a friend. Love can be listening to with two ears. Love can be saying something nice to someone, but only say it if you mean it. The world needs love. Share this with somebody you love. Maybe it'll make them smile.
Let's pray. Father, the world needs love. And this little boy, so enthusiastic and lovable, tells us about love. Maybe someone needs a smile. Maybe someone needs just a little bit of comfort, a prayer, a greeting. Father, it is the small things that transforms people, the life around us. It transforms people deep in their souls and minds and hearts. Father, we understand this morning, we can hear. We don't have to be important. They don't have to know my name. But we can still do what you ask us to do. We can still be a light. We can still bring peace. We can still forgive. And therefore we pray, Father, that this will be the essence of our congregation. Not about important people. We've said it last week. If we boast or boast, it's not about ourselves, but about you. And therefore, Father, please, in humbleness and as servants, we ask, come and change our lives, the lives around us, and let us be church as you ask us to be. Thank you for your presence this morning, and we pray again for this world, the wickedness of this world, the unrighteousness, and the unfairness, the pain, the sorrow. Every single one suffering this morning, we pray for them. We pray, Father, that your peace will come and heal our world, people, marriages. We pray that you will bless our country as well. And when we are here this morning as a congregation, Father, it's not just a meeting. It is fellowship. It is in calling. This is our foundation of our whole being. And therefore, Father, send us and help us to change wherever we can. Thank you for your salvation and your hope and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's offer our gratitude to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. Thank you for the ability to give something, to offer something back to you. We thank you for this congregation that really cares about the ministry and the work we do, and therefore giving. So we appreciate it. And therefore we pray that you will bless these funds, our office, the church council, and so that we can apply this funds in the right places, so that your name will be honored around us, and the light of Christ will be shine. Thank you for this offering. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a few announcements. We do have the card facility if you want to make use of it. And then just this one, we are going to have on the 27th. Sorry, I see that it's very doff. The 27th of February on the Friday evening, we'll have a prayer evening. Normally, what we had in the past is a missionary weekend, but we really realize that prayer is so important, and we want to pray for all the ministries in the world and the pain of the world. And so please come and join us. It's from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Well, if 10 o'clock we're not done, we just hoi on, and so there will be something to eat and fellowship. And so I invite you, and you please give us a call just attend. It will be here in the church hall. And this week I will be away in the Kunene region. We are going to have a missionary outreach, and then so there will be no Bible studies this week. Right. Thank you so much. Let's sing and end up with "When We Walk, It's All About Trust and Obey." Let's sing three verses thereof. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.